The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
So here we are, it's the Wednesday Lunchtime Social Debate. We have Shania in, we also have Bex in as well, and we're asking quite simply, because tonight is the night where you could win £50 million on the, they call it the lotto draw now, don't they? So we're asking the question, what would you do with £50 million? So we touched on what you were going to do, Bex, just before the 12 o'clock news. So what would you do? 50 million quid.
I don't think, in all conscience, you could just spend it all, could you? And I definitely would set up some kind of charitable foundation for working with young people who come from less than privileged backgrounds, because having seen for myself when I worked with teenagers in care, you know, how the outcomes for people who go through that system aren't necessarily very good. And what I know, there's a few things that are needed, so I feel I could do something good for that with that.
Okay, well, are you here on the island?
Yeah.
Definitely here on the island.
Definitely here on the island, but with £50 million, hopefully you could roll it out nationally a bit, couldn't you? And work alongside social care agencies, or maybe not actually, because as soon as you get involved with social care agencies, you get swamped with bureaucracy.
Yeah.
So maybe have a charitable foundation that stands completely on its own.
Do you think 50 million quid is too much? Do you think I should limit it?
There's a lot to be said, isn't there, for instead of having one £50 million prize, to have 51 million pound prizes, because that would make enough of a difference to 50 people.
Hmm.
You know, I don't know, how much would you need to buy the house and have financial security for the rest of your life?
Well, it all depends on where you're going to live, really, doesn't
this
it?
This is true.
Where are you going to live with your £50 million, Shania?
Same place.
You're going to stay in the same place?
Well,
okay, that's interesting.
Town.
At least the same town. Well, it's a beautiful town, Ventnor.
Yeah.
But that's kind of refreshing and kind of... Well, are you sure? Do you want some advice on that?
I wouldn't want to move, like, into a fancy house. I just want to try and live a normal life, like... Just put money in so we're secure for the rest of our lives, like not just me, but like family and friends.
Do you do the lottery?
No.
You don't?
Because, I don't know, I just don't believe in it really. What's the chance of winning? I know you could think, oh, you have your same numbers, but I don't have numbers I particularly believe in. So I'll be changing my numbers around it. I just don't see the point in it really. When you've got a really small chance of winning it, why don't you just keep going with normal life?
So is it the case of, because when we buy a lottery ticket, it's a dream, isn't it? It's a gamble, it's a dream.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you actually roll it through and just suddenly when you got that, it's £2 that you pay for now, is it
£2?
It's £2 now, yeah.
I haven't bought them for years.
No, I haven't, not for a number of must be in the last year. It's I'm pretty sure it's £2.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you get that £2 and you're handing it over, if you just stop and think for a minute, what if you did win? It's going to change your life. I wonder how many people would say, hang on a minute, I kind of like my life as it is, and 50 million quid or however much, it might just ruin
it. If you like, you had 50 million pounds and people got to know about it, then, you know, it could get quite annoying, because people go, could you lend me money for this and that, and...
Exactly.
Would you really want that? Would you just want to live a normal life like everybody else?
So you seem to me one of those people that may be thinking, do you know what? I'm happy with my lot. I don't really need 50 million quid, and it would just ruin my life.
Well, you know, you can always dream of what you would do with it and all that, but I don't think, you know, it's not the end of the world if I wouldn't get it. I think life would probably be better without it, because then you're not driven by money and people aren't coming to you for money. Like, you think all the friends that you'd sort of, like, fake friends you'd make, because they'd know that you're quite wealthy and you'd want, you know, they'd say, oh, can you lend me this for that? And I really need to go to this, can you get me that? Or, you know, it's just not worth it. Why can't you just live a normal life?
I wonder how many people that have won, you know, a massive amount of money, after a period of time thought, do you know what, my life has been rubbish since then, I wished I'd never won it, I'd wished I'd never bought a ticket.
So media would be all over it, wouldn't they, really? They'd try and find out who they won.
You can tick the no to publicity box, though, can't you?
You can.
One of the things, I think,
out,
you're right, though, Shania, is I think you'd want to have still have the same relationships in your life with your family and your friends and your community. And I think the trouble is that amount of money, if you're not careful, could set you outside that community somewhat. Because people are going to say, well, what are you worried about? You know, why do we need to do this charity one? You could just afford to give us the dosh type of scenario.
Yeah.
And that's why I think your nearest and dearest, you have to bring them up to a level to be the same as you, if you possibly can. Because otherwise, you are going to be in that kind of patronage type thing where you're continuously paying for people. And people don't like that. People like to give as well as receive. People like to feel independent and have their dignity, don't they?
Yeah, sure.
So,
sure.
That's what I do.
My wife, I've said to her many times, you know, about doing the lottery and so on, and she was like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we won that? I could do this, do that. And I said, you know what? It'll ruin your life. It will ruin your life. It will make you realise, you know, that just how lucky you are now, because your life will never be the same and you wouldn't be able to handle it. She assures me that she would. But I honestly, I look at it and I think, if you're like, you know, really, really desperate, then winning the lottery might be the answer. But if you're not that desperate and your life's pretty good, I think in some cases, not all, but in some cases, it may just take the shine off your life and you may live to regret it. So when you've got that £2 coin and you're thinking you're going to part with that tonight to win 50 million quid, just think about it, because you might just win and it will change your life. 50 million pounds, that's like more than you could spend in a lot. People like us, I'm guessing we're all of the same kind of ilk. Yeah. You know, that is something if you were spending it, yeah, we'd say, yeah, it wouldn't take long for us to spend it, but it would, because you're probably still in the mindset of, I mean, you made the mistake earlier on of telling me you went to Aldi. So I'm thinking, you go to Aldi? Well, you still shop kind of normally then.
Of course.
You're just a normal person, aren't you? And, you know, we said last night, we were going out for a walk, and the wife said, do you know what I missed about not having masses of money? Is it just not being able to go into a pub and order a pint of whatever. She likes Hobgoblin soda wine. And that might sound like a euphemism, but it's not, I promise you. And I've made some beer very recently that is like, and it's better than the Hobgoblin. It's just like it, and it's much, much better. And I said, but we couldn't justify going into a pub and paying £4 for a pint each when we know that we've spent £23 on 40 pints at home and it's better beer. We couldn't justify it. So we'd be rubbish millionaires, wouldn't we? Based on that theory, you know, we'd be penny pinching, and that's not what it's for, surely.
No, it isn't. But, you know, if you've got money, and I still don't see any point in spending three times as much on something. Why would you give somebody all that money for a product that you can either manufacture or buy cheaper elsewhere?
Yeah.
It's pointless. Does that make sense to you?
It does, but that's where our minds are. There'll be people out there that will just have that. You know, I went into Marks and Sparks. I mean, years ago, you had that mentality of people that shopping. Oh, I only go to Marks and Sparks. They got more money than sense, you know. And you think there will be that element, but the rest of us, we're thinking, right, where can we get a good deal? We go to Hamilton's for our meat. We go there for this. We'll shop around, and we'll probably be still in that mindset.
I don't think I'll ever not be at that mindset. Having had, you know, really hard times, times with my kids, I will never, ever want to be wasting money on stuff that I can get for half the price somewhere else. And also, when you go to somewhere like Hamilton's and you go to somewhere like the Barrow Boys, you're getting fresh produce.
Yeah.
I don't know how long stuff's been in supermarkets for.
No, too true.
And I do know if I go to the Barrow Boys and ride, I can spend a tenner and have all the fruit and veg for the week that I want, and I can see it and I can touch it. I know they've been to the markets that morning. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
too true. Whereas supermarkets, they turn me right off, actually, now.
What's the thing you crave most of all? The natural things. What's the thing you crave most of all?
Well, as it to buy or...
Not to buy, just what do you crave most
time.
Of all? Time?
Yeah.
For me, it's sunshine.
Time and sunshine, definitely. Yeah,
time and sunshine,
definitely.
I remember getting to me what was a dream job. I worked in Egypt in a nightclub, so you were guaranteed sunshine every single day. I was sat in the swimming pool area getting a tan, and I did that for about 5 or 6 months. And after 5 or 6 months, do you know what? I thought, I want to go home,
really,
I want to experience some rain.
Really?
Yeah, and I just thought, if you apply the same kind of theory, would you then get fed up with that lifestyle of you'd never ever have to struggle again? You'd never have to be in that. In the episode where in Only Fools and Horses, where they win the money, they win the money, and then they end up at the flat that he was going to sell. And he's talking about, he's trying to knock out some stuff that somebody's trying to sell him on the phone, some carpet cleaners or something. And Rodney had to stop him and say, "We're not in the business anymore, Dal." And his face dropped. And he explained that he'd lost that zip, he'd lost that bounce. Yeah, everything was too easy.
Yeah.
And all those years of struggling, and we all struggled with the Trotters. Yes. And we wanted them to be millionaires, but when they were eventually millionaires, they weren't happy.
Yeah,
and that is when you're thinking about buying that ticket tonight. Just think about it. You might just realise just how lucky you are already. And yes, it would be nice to win 50 million quid. I'm not trying to put everybody off, so there's more chance of me winning it. But it's just that it might just change your life. And if it changes your life, it might not necessarily change it for the better.
You have to have something to get up for every single day.
Hmm.
And anybody sitting there who's got no money and a young family sitting there could go from, you know, blow you. If you've got a young family, you still have to get up every day. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. Your children still have to be got up, washed, dressed, breakfasted and off to school. It doesn't matter if you've got 50 million quid in the bank or minus 50 quid. But if you haven't got that to get up for and you suddenly are in a position where you don't have to get up, there is nothing you have to do.
Mm.
You can afford to pay someone to clean your house, to do your garden. The question you have to ask yourself is what is the purpose today of my life?
Yeah.
And that's why I think a charitable thing is a good idea, because you are still having to get up and go to work and do something rather than just sitting around doing nothing.
Okay, it's interesting. Have you thought about what you're going to do with your 50 million quid, Shanae? Yeah,
I'll definitely donate to charity, because okay. I think the amount of charities there are and the amount of struggle there is.
Vectors Radio is going to become a charity later this year, so.
I wouldn't donate to a charity, actually, because I am sick of big charities. I'm sick of them paying their CEOs £200,000. Mm. I am furious when the Red Cross and the British Legion send me stuff through the post that costs money.
Well, yeah, they send start local, I think.
I hate that. You know, you get the Christmas cards and the brooches and the pens and the labels.
There's the mats.
And the mats. And you think, what are you doing? You're emotionally blackmailing me into giving to your charity. I'm not going to do it. You know, when they start playing things like that, I think they've got too much money.
Okay, I take your point on that. And that's one of the...
Use the money to start local, I think.
Absolutely.
Try and boost local.
Yeah, start local, look after your community and hopefully roll it out if it works.
Do you know what I would do with 50 million quid? I mean, we did it, you know, a few years ago. We had this discussion and it wasn't quite as much. It was something like 10 million pounds, maybe even five. And I came up with this idea. But obviously the idea now would be much, much bigger with 50 million quid. But I would make a start and I've just added a few bits. Originally it was going to be, right, I'm going to buy Newport Football Club. Okay, I'm going to buy Newport Football Club, turn it into a winning team for a change.
Yeah.
Around the outside of the track, I'm going to have the Speedway.
Right.
Okay, so we've got two clubs in one.
Yeah.
Because Speedway was, you know, a few years ago, it kind of died a death. It's coming back later this year, which is great news.
Brilliant.
Hopefully people will support it. But at that moment, I thought, you know what, I'm going to dig in. We'd save this. We'd have this. And right smack bang in the middle, you'd have a radio station that will be reporting on the football and also the Speedway and doing other loads of good things as well. But now, because we've got 50 million quid, it's slightly bigger, we can now put in a television studio.
Oh, and maybe films.
And make... See, now where I'm gonna need somebody to be by my side, coming up with
ideas.
I'll be
your wingman.
There you go, making films, and why not documentaries, that kind of thing. But how, you know, but it all sort of comes together. It all, you know, it promotes each thing that you've got going on there. You've got the TV cameras that are going to film the Speedway, and you know, the radio station which will promote on the Speedway, the football, and films, and so on and so on. It's just there, isn't it?
It is.
And there is so many things that you can bolt on to that. You could have your, you know, a newspaper.
Yeah.
You could have your own newspaper. So you could do your own news.
I want to do Good Morning Isle of Wight show.
How brilliant would that be? How brilliant would that be? Do you know what? Just coming off, I don't know whether you saw this morning. Good Morning Britain. Do you ever watch that?
Is that the BBC one?
Yeah. ITV one. It's the ITV one.
I don't, to be honest. First thing in the morning, what I want to do is have a cup of coffee.
Do you know what? If you ever feel... somebody else told me this a long time ago. He's a newsreader that used to work for the other station I used to work at. Andrew Carter, lovely fella.
Yeah.
He said, if you ever really feel bad about or down on your last show, you've had a bad show, ever listen to a certain radio station. And it was a radio station that was based in Portsmouth. It was awful. And I had to listen to it. And I thought, you know what? I've just done a rubbish show. But now I feel 10 times better because I've heard an even worse show. So you then put it in the context. And then you think to yourself, okay, I'll watch GMB in the morning, because, you know, okay, we're in a radio station that is still in its infancy, really.
Yes.
We're growing, but it's frustrating because, you know, okay, I've been used to bigger and well, not so much better, but bigger places of work. But it kind of gets you down. Every now and again, you get down and you think, right, I'm going to watch GMB because that'll cheer me up. Because I know that they're earning masses and masses of amounts of money. But if you watch that programme for 5 minutes, you'll see how hideous they are.
Yes.
And they really are hideous. But this morning, it was quite an interesting thing because they had some people on there. They're about three or four people. They do this every single year. They have three or four people that have, got to the point where they're, I'm overweight and I want to do something about it because it's January. They do this every year. And they had the girl that defected from BBC to ITV to anchor this show.
Yeah.
She's doing the interviews.
Susan Reid, is it?
Susanna Reid. That's the one.
Yeah.
And these ladies are talking about, you know, the fact that they got overweight, and when they filmed them, they filmed them from all angles so you could see spare tires and so on and so forth. And they said, you know, what's the worst thing about it? Or where's the worst thing about it? It was being made to feel. Being made to feel that way, you know, they're you know, you switch on the television, they're made to feel in a certain way. And Susanna Reid is then saying, that's a real shame that and I'm thinking, yeah, because it's your fault.
Yeah, you're one of them.
Yeah. Because everyone is going on about you. You've got your cleavage out some days. You've got your legs on view. And they put that on the, you know, somewhere, and they'll say, you know, Susanna's got her legs out and she's lovely. And all of a sudden she's there. And I'm thinking, you hypocrite.
I know.
You're part of the problem. Anyway, yes. That's, you know, to cheer people up.
It's Piers Morgan, he's joined Good Morning Britain, hasn't he?
Well, I don't know whether he's there for a short period of time or long term or not. I did think that again this morning when I saw it. And he was quite, at the start, it was quite entertaining. Now it's just a pain.
But him and Susanna Reid on one side, and then they've got Bill What's-A-Face and Sean Thingy on BBC One, who I just don't like. You know, they're so prissy, and they're like mum and dad sitting there on the sofa, you know, patronising you. And the other side is just vacuous, I think, is my word of the day. It's just rubbish, isn't it?
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah. Empty, shallow, boring,
Did you know
pointless.
That,
Shania? No.
We've both learned what vacuous means today.
I'm going to use that.
Vacuous.
Yeah, it's a good word. We should have a word of the day. I think we should have a word of the day if we don't on the radio.
I think that's a great idea. Next week, then, or a week after next, that's a feature of the word of the day.
Yes, a word of the day.
This week's word of the day is vacuous. And your homework is to chuck that into a sentence whilst insulting your dad tonight.
Can I be insulting my brother instead?
Because I'll tell you what, all the family, the whole family, why not go
yeah,
for
see
it?
See if you can insult them without them actually noticing.
Yeah. Yes, that would be clever. I'm liking the sound of that. So, £50 million. What would you do with £50 million? We've discussed what I would do, and I would bolt on a, not so much a charity, but, you know, just some kind of training school to help people, which is probably what we're doing now.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll have the TV, the radio, the speedway, football. Not sure about ice hockey, because I'm not sure where that fits in. Because at least you can have the speedway going around the outside of the track, which is outside of the football pitch, which would be great. And then you could do so much more for, you know, people. I mean, you just imagine if we had our own, like, Premier League football team on the island.
Oh, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? Mm. Cool. That would be absolutely true.
And it would bring so much money to the island as well, because there'd be all the supporters and, the big teams coming over with their supporters and all the social side of it. And it'd be amazing.
It would. I'm just thinking I should buy myself a house as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So where am I going to live?
Where do you want to live?
Well, I don't know. I kind of like being in, you know, Newport. There must be a nice big house somewhere. It doesn't have to be too big. I wouldn't want a big place, would you?
No, because the bigger the house, the more crap you put in it and the more cleaning there is to do.
And the more people you have dossing around and sponges, you know. Yeah. So yeah, I want to, you know, maybe a four-bedroom place, yep. Little bit of land, keep the wife happy. She'll have to have an horse.
At least one, I should imagine. Well, she might want a couple. Stables.
Stables within the land, yeah. But nothing too, you know.
And would you have any staff, Ian?
No.
You wouldn't have a cleaner?
No.
No? Who does all the cleaning in your house?
Well, I do my share. I do my share, and I do a lot more cooking these days. See, that's where it all becomes interesting, because how much do you want to do? How much do you enjoy doing? And if somebody says, just say, for instance, I know you like to cook.
Yeah.
Do you like cooking, Shania?
I can't really cook very well, but now and again I could.
I'm sure that'll change. So you wouldn't miss the cooking, but I'm guaranteeing that you would miss the cooking.
I would, although I'm sure that anyone of either sex who cooks most days out there would say it does get boring doing the same old, you know, kind of everyday cooking. So, I don't know, occasionally I think I'd like to bring in a chef and have a nice meal cooked for me at home. That would be cool.
Well, if it's not me winning the 50 million quid,
yeah.
Can I occasionally come down and cook for you?
Yes.
Because that would be good.
Yeah.
As long as I can sit at your table.
You can do that anyway.
So, because I've discovered something over the Christmas period.
This isn't your Marmite chicken, is it?
I've developed it.
It's Marmite turkey, isn't it?
No, because we didn't get any turkey. Otherwise, it would have been. It would have been. But I tried something with the special guests over the Christmas period. And they absolutely loved it.
Okay.
And they've been raving about it ever since. It's Marmite chicken.
Yeah.
You fry it all off with your Marmite and there's a few other special ingredients as well. But you know how you make a shepherd's pie?
Yes.
You put the mash on the top of that.
Yeah.
And then we put some cheesy Marmite on the top of that as well.
Yeah.
And then you just put it in the oven and bake it off. And the flavour absorbs the mash.
Ooh.
And it worked.
Did it?
It's the first time I've tried it. It was a bit like that chef program that you do when you get people coming around your house and they say, oh, it's the first time I've tried it. And you're thinking, you're going on national TV and trying to cook something that you've never cooked before. And I thought, well, I've got guests coming around. They either like it or lump it, one of the two, but they absolutely loved it.
Wow.
Absolutely loved it. I've got a spare one in the fridge as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
You can have it tonight.
So no. Do you know what I might do? Next time I might make you a little one and bring it in.
Okay.
So you can try it.
I do want to taste your Marmite chicken
and
for
sample
sure.
It.
Yeah, I like Marmite actually.
Even the wife was drooling over it. Even she said, oh, I had reservations when I heard you were doing it with mash. She said, I had my reservations. And she said, I did have a word with her friend Laura. She said, you know, it will be Monday after Christmas, bank holiday, so there won't be many places open to get a takeaway. So we didn't have a plan B, just to warn you. And she was fine. She came in, and do you know what? They wolfed it all down. And it worked. It worked. So if you do get that millionaire status, I wouldn't mind coming around and just sort of, you know.
I don't
doing
have
a bit
to get the millionaire status. You could come around and cook it anywhere, anytime. just as a side thing, did you see the Cub Dine with Me this week? It was all over Facebook about it. The guy, he really thought he was wonderful and he was cooking everything. And he was, you know, he had a classy meal and he was going to do it. And he was the last one to cook. He came last. He had a complete tantrum. Yeah, yeah, you've won. Take your money. Get out my house.
Really? Do you know what? It's really strange. We had the lady that did the Isle of Wight one last year. It was about summertime last year.
Ali and John, wasn't
Ali,
it?
Ali yeah. and John. And they were saying that what you see on the TV and what actually happens is kind of... It's not quite as it seems.
Yeah.
Because they keep you waiting, the food goes cold. There's all sorts of things that you don't actually see.
Oh, really?
They do take after take after take. They bring out the food and they ask you loads of questions before you can eat it. So when you do get round to eating it, it's really cold and it's not very nice. And they do all of these things and then you're supposed to act. because that's what they do. They want you to act.
So how can you get a party atmosphere going at a dinner table if you're constantly having to sit there, wait while they kind of get their cameras ready and stuff?
I don't know. But in some cases they do it, because obviously, you know, let's be honest, there will be a number of people that were there in front of the cameras that will be thinking, yeah, I want to play along with it because I'm on the telly. And there will be some people that are slightly more intelligent and think, well, hang on a minute, no, I'm going to be me. I'm not going to let you tell me what I've got to say and what I've got to do.
I thought Ali and John were portrayed quite badly in there, because they do bicker all the time. That is their relationship.
Yeah.
But they edited all the kind of hideous bits of Ali and John and them kind of being horrible to one another. And it didn't come across as jokey.
No.
And if you didn't know them, you would have sat there and thought, oh, blimey, they're horrible to each other. But it's just how they are.
When they came in, they told that story. They told, you know, told it as it was, and it was a lot like what you saw on the TV.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. And you kind of felt sorry for them in a way, because, you know, OK, we know them. That's what they're like.
Yeah.
Other people were looking at them and thinking, oh, they're horrible.
Well, some of the things John said to Ali, because he always takes the mick out of her weight, and it just came across as really cringy, because there wasn't any context to it. So, and the same thing happened, you know, is it Three in the Bed, that programme? The Enchanted Manor, the owners of theirs did it, and they won. But they said to us that constantly the TV production team were trying to get them to say horrible things about the other participants, and they weren't going to do it. They said, we're not going to play that game. We're not going to sit, oh, yeah, but don't you find that a bit irritating? And, of course, they'll answer the question, and that's all that's edited in.
Yeah, clever.
It is clever, but it's a bit naughty as well.
It is a bit naughty. I mean, I say it's misleading. I don't know if you saw any of the Big Brother last night.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. It started, doesn't it?
I saw enough in 30 seconds to make me think, God, oh, you know,
who's
I
on
can't
it this
be...
year?
Do you know what? There's a few people. Darren Day was on it.
Oh, my goodness. Gemma Collins, I know, is on it. The one who went into I'm a Celebrity, get out of the jungle and lasted 24 hours.
Did you see any of this, Shania?
I would have had
money watching you. You know, you watching that last night.
No.
There was one incident. I don't want to crack, because we want to crack on with the money thing. But the bit that I saw was about 2 minutes in total.
Yeah.
And there was a guy called Winston somebody or other. He was a black boxer that is now a politician, that went on and on about him being a Tory, and now he's I thought they said UKIP, but now he's English Democrat, and he was saying that if there's any gay people in there, it would be a case of me backs against the wall.
Oh, nice.
And I thought, what an idiot.
Yeah.
What an absolute idiot. Knowing full well, and this is where they manipulate the whole thing, knowing full well that that's what he would have been like. Who have they got? They got one of the campus guys in there, you know, that I've ever seen on the television. And he is, he's a handsome fella, and he's funny, and he's a nice fella as well. And you just saw, there was an incident where these two came together for the first time, and you saw his face. I forget what his name is. He was in EastEnders. And you don't watch EastEnders, do you?
No.
There's a character. You watch EastEnders?
No.
Crikey. Well, he was in EastEnders. And he's quite, well, you see him, he's quite a well-known figure. And you just saw, there was this incident, and you saw his eyes, and you thought, hello, what's all this about? And you just thought, yeah, you now know that you're under pressure because this guy does not like you because of your sexuality. And he's made that clear outside in front of hundreds, thousands of people that he, you know, because they showed his footage. And then obviously when he walked in, you know, he was saying, they were all booing him really loudly. And he went in and said, oh, great crowd. And I'm thinking, you're either, you know, just saying that, or you're completely oblivious. And I'm thinking, maybe if you're a politician, you're completely oblivious.
Probably.
He'll be the first one booted out, I'm
hoping.
So
a far-right-wing homophobic guy, he's going to do well, isn't he? I must watch it.
I just sat there thinking, I don't want to watch this. I don't even know half you are.
You know what? The other thing is, we can tie this in, actually, because you know when you see celebrities and they're completely wealthy, they have got more wealth than any of us could ever imagine, and yet they're still miserable.
Yeah.
You know, they still can't find love, their kids are going off the rails, they've hit some kind of drug or alcohol issue, you know, their career isn't doing what they want, they can't age, so they're going and having hideous plastic surgery, and they end up looking like nothing on earth.
Mm. And you're right, it does tie in, because, you know, just because you've got 50 million quid does not entitle you to a happy life.
And what would you rather have, fame or fortune?
I've never been one for fame.
No.
And when I said that to my... It's funny enough, we had this kind of same discussion yesterday about craving the limelight. Mm. She was talking about craving the limelight. And I said, you know what, believe it or not, I've never craved the limelight. I'm much happier sat back. If you remember, at our fifth birthday party last year, you were trying to push me out to the front to have my picture taken.
Right,
and I was
saying,
no, I'm all right back here, thanks very much. I'm much happier letting other people do that. And so I'd rather have fortune.
So, yeah, I think I would, actually. It would be awful, wouldn't it?
What about
walking
you,
down
Shania?
The street.
Yeah, fortune.
Fame or fortune, yeah. Definitely fortune.
I wouldn't want to be famous. Like, no, it's just, I quite like being who I am. Like, low profile.
Yeah.
See, you know.
See, I like the low profile. And I thought that, you know, living on the Isle of Wight, and I still feel that way, but it was, you know, sometimes became a little bit scary, you know, going back 15, 16 years, because whenever you went out and did a gig, you know, and especially when my son was born, he was used for the McDonald's commercials.
Oh, was he?
So wherever you went, people wanted to talk to him, and even though he's only like very, very small, but and that was like, whoa, what's all this about? Why do they want to talk to him? I mean, it's not not a case of, what do they want to talk to him? What about me? You know, it wasn't about that. It just became very scary, to the point where a lady turned up at my house. On the day that we returned home from the hospital, just days after him being born, and she was camped out on the doorstep.
Oh, no.
And demanded to see, you know, this. And I thought, my God, if this is what being, you know, any kind of celebrity status is like, then I don't want this at all.
Yeah.
You know, that was it in a very, very minute scale. Just imagine what it's like. You see these people all the time when they're, you know, the celebrity thing. It's a great subject to talk about and tie in. You're absolutely right. But they're just camped out waiting for you to do something. Or you go shopping with no makeup on. You know, that's a story. That's a story. To them, that is a story. And you think, how awful must it be for you to live like that all the time?
Awful.
So, you know, fame, keep it. Fortune, yeah, I'd rather have that.
Yeah, a bit of fortune would be jolly nice.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back with part two of today's discussion. We are asking the question, what would you do with 50 million quid? And a few of you have messaged in, so we'll read out those messages very soon.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com. This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
Imagine leaving home at Christmas. 3,000 people were forced to leave the Devon coast in 1943 without knowing why. And what if you leave your most treasured possession behind? The Kid on Slapton Beach. Available from your favourite bookshop or contact www.whitediamondpress.com. A wonderful book, says Michelle Magorian, author of Goodnight, Mr. Tom. A jewel, says actress June Brown. The Kid on Slapton Beach. Available now at www.whitediamondpress.com.
The Castle St. Helens. Superb self-catering accommodation in St. Helens, open all year, just a short walk from the beach. Full details, including availability and offers, can be found on our website at www.sthelenscastle.co.uk. It's also the perfect place to book if you have relatives coming to visit you on the island, with special rates available for bookings made from Isle of Wight addresses. Contact us on www.sthelenscastle.co.uk or on 01983 875 993, that's 875 993, to book your perfect getaway on the Isle of Wight. Also see the Facebook page for the castle for more details.
Where do you go for a wide range of animal feeds, accessories and lots, lots more? Sandown Pet Store are the island's premier store for all your pets' needs. We are open 6 days a week on St John's Road, Sandown. Telephone 01983 407788 and speak to Paul or Wendy for a friendly and reliable service.
Have you looked at your carpets lately? Are they fit to be seen, or do they let you down? Or maybe they could really do with a freshening up to get rid of some of those stains and smells. Whatever the problem with your carpets, curtains, or upholstery, you need ChemDry first. Call us for a quote on 295 518. No matter what the material, be it leather, cotton or silk, ChemDry first have the tools, training and experience to ensure they look their best. All cleaning products are 100% safe and non-toxic. Call 295 518 or go to www.chemdryfirst.co.uk to book a free quotation and claim your free can of spot remover. We offer a no-quibble money-back guarantee on every job, so you have nothing to lose. That number again is 295 518.
Beds of Ride, in-town parking in Union Street. Come and give your bedroom an overhaul and treat. No need for sales gimmicks, just value for your pound. With realistic prices all the year round. Includes free delivery if you live in Ride, and only £10 elsewhere, island-wide. Open 10:30 till late, 6 days a week. All that is needed to help you sleep. Beds of Ride, call 565 151. Also find us on Facebook.
Are you an employer concerned about your responsibilities for workplace pensions? Sage have got it covered. If you already use Sage Payroll software, you can add the Sage auto-enrolment module to help you manage your pension duties, enrol your staff and comply with the new legislation. Contact the Asperity Group, that's A-S-P-E-R-I-T-I, on 01983 721548, your local Sage business partner. Visit our website at www.asperity.co.uk or email us on info@asperity.co.uk.
It's James and Judy here, the island's version of Richard and Judy. We've been married for longer than Judy cares to mention, haven't we?
That's true, James.
And together we run Ramshackle Pop-Up Cinema from our Global Nerve Centre in Bembridge. We're bringing lots of bickering, wittering...
That's me.
...and twittering...
That's James, the technical one.
...to Vectis Radio every Wednesday afternoon from 1 to 4. And that's our show, Ramshackle Mashup. It's a heady mix of music, previews and reviews of things going on the island, including arts, and breaking news about local eateries, cycling and special places.
And film.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Welcome back to part two. We're asking the question, what would you do with £50 million? There are some suggestions. Have you still got them in front of you, Bex? Can you read them out?
I can. Give me 1 second. Did you ever see that Steve Jobs quote about money as he was dying? It was quite interesting. And he was basically saying, I spent my whole life accruing fame and fortune, as it were, and now look at me. Let me tell you, people, you know,
yeah,
live and love is the most important thing in your life, which is interesting. Yeah, I've got some comments here. So you've got lotto draw tonight. It's worth £50 million. What would you do with 50 million? Jackie Thompson says, go away.
Yeah. Where are you going to go? Anywhere you like.
I don't know if she's saying she would go away or telling you to go away.
So, right.
Roger Sanders says he'd buy you a Saints shirt.
Oh, no, that would be awful.
What's a Spuds one? Alan Phillips says no, a Spuds one,
surely. I don't know. I think Spurs. Because I'm an Arsenal fan, and yeah, I think that's Spurs.
Okay.
Anyway, you can't spell Spurs. Alan, you ought to go back to school. I think they held him back.
I have to say, though, Saints beat Arsenal the other day, didn't they? And I was well happy about that. Was it 4-1, 4-0?
4-0, but then look at the top of the league and you'll see Arsenal there, and you won't see Southampton there ever again. Do you know what? Before you read it, you can read all the others out, but my favourite is Joyce Salter's quote. What would you do with 50 million quid? Keep quiet.
Yeah.
Love it. What else have you got?
Kevin Wilson, I'd buy Chael. And then Kelvin Curry, our own Kelvin, had said, what would you do with the other £49,995,990.50?
Chael's up for 10 pence then.
50 pence.
Go on, carry on.
And then R. Shirley says, Mick would buy Newport Football Club. I would give some to the neighbours so they could move. That's you, isn't it, Ian?
Yeah. No, she means the wife.
Yeah.
She wants me to stay.
Share it with some of my family, then we all go together and live somewhere where the sun shines all the time. I'm with Shirley on that.
Yeah.
I think that's a lovely thing to do. And then Philip Pyro Petty, one of our guys, says people who buy football clubs don't have money for long.
No, that's true.
Well, I don't know. Alan Sugar doesn't seem to be that skint to me. Karen Brady doesn't seem to be that skint to me. Well, Elton John doesn't seem to be that skint to me.
Well, yeah, they only owned them for a short period of time, didn't they? Owned them for a short period of time and then flogged them, didn't they? Let's take a call. Hi, who's this?
Good afternoon, Geezer.
What would you do with £50 million?
Arthur. I'd buy your next door neighbour's house and make your life a misery.
Why has everyone got it in for me then?
I think actually what people really mean is they'd buy a hit money and then suddenly you would be no more.
That's nice. You know, I've never done anything bad in my life. And yet I've got all this hatred coming out. See, that's what money does to you.
Yeah, it makes people horrible.
I'd buy you a nice caravan somewhere.
Yeah, see? He's still at it. So come on, what would you do with 50 million quid, Arthur?
Well, a lot of people will be looking over their shoulders because I've had the money to deal with them once and for all.
Ooh.
That's the first start.
It's like the Godfather, isn't it?
All them people that have got in my way over the last couple of years would be reaching for the Kleenex. sort the kids out, I think, really. Sort the kids out first, sort the families out, sort the friends out.
Yeah.
And then have a look around and see what needs some money. You know, things like Parkinson's, you know, needs money for you. Cancer research. I mean, what could you do? What good would 50 million do to anybody unless you are John Giddings, you know?
Yeah.
What good would it do? You're better off giving 50 people 1 million.
We said that,
didn't we? Or better still, 100 people 500,000.
Yeah.
Yeah? I think it's totally obscene, 50 million to one person.
Yeah, we did ask that question earlier. Yeah, I'm with you. I think 50 million quid is too much and it will ruin that person's life.
Yeah.
I do think that. They might think at first, this is wonderful, this is going to do so much, but after a period of time, I bet they'll crave their old life. They really will.
You're going to get people banging on the blinking door, aren't you? Every time you go into a shop or a bar or a restaurant, everybody's going to think you're going to be paying their bill. Yeah?
Yeah, no, that's
Everybody's,
true.
Oh, it's going to be like this. Oh, Ian, my car's broken down. Need a new tyre. Can you buy me a new car? You know, you can afford it, mate. You know, this is the sort of stuff you get. I think I'd jump on a plane and go out and see old Lardy in Thailand, see how he's doing.
See if he's had that operation yet.
Well, I don't know. He sounded a bit weird on the phone the new year. You know.
Oh, he phones you as well.
Yeah, I wasn't totally sure what he was on about, actually. Something about he loved me to bits.
Crikey. He might have had that operation,
Harley. Well, he needs to have a bit more done because his voice is still a bit low.
Is it? It will always be low, won't it? Anybody that knows Lardy, he's got one of the deepest voices ever.
Is he going to have a sex change?
Well, I don't think so. I think, no, I don't know. I mean, he's over there, I don't know.
You think he's turned into a lady boy, don't you?
Well, we always kind of check him out when he comes home.
He'd be a lady man, wouldn't he? Lady man.
It was that the R, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so 50 million quid, would it change your life? Do you do the lottery first? You don't? Why don't you do it?
Because it's a total travesty. It was supposed to be set up for looking after good causes.
Yeah.
And people would blindly put their £1 down, never win a sausage, but you do it all for good causes.
Yeah.
And now, to go to? It's paying for all God knows what and people who could do a lot better than, you know, than we can. And they're all getting handouts for it and we're all stumping up. Well, no, it's not really for me.
A lot goes to, it seems, to support the high arts, you know, your operas and your theatres and stuff like that. And I don't know, I'm in two minds about that because I'm not really an opera buff. Do we need opera?
I mean, let's be fair about it. Could you afford to go to an opera?
I could afford to go to an opera, Arthur, if I really, really was into it. But I don't want to go to an opera. I don't really want to go and see music sung in a very high voice in a foreign language.
I don't
understand it. And it really doesn't do it for me.
Well, years ago, when I had spotlighting on an opera from some Italian jobbies, they moaned at me because I didn't come into work in a suit.
Really?
I said, you're having a laugh. You're going to climb a ladder, work on a blinking red hot machine, pumping out smoke in a suit. You know, there's all the lighting engineers all in suit and tie.
No.
I thought, what's the matter with these people? You know,
it could have been worse, though, or they could have asked you to come in like a dinner jacket or a top hat and tails.
There was one of the guys, the engineer, was in a dinner jacket with the pair of trousers with the sticky tape down the side. You know?
No. What, to go to work?
Serious. It was someone, Placebo Domingo, something like that. Yeah?
I don't know.
All he did was come out and go, la, 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 la. He walked off the stage and come back out again, mopped his brow, walked off, and they all go, what's all that about?
Oh, do you know what? I've got to send you a YouTube of Sweep from Sooty and Sweep doing. Who's the other fella? Not a player. There's three big tenors, weren't there? Sadly, no longer with his big bloke with a beard. Well, they all had beards.
Demis Roussos?
Not Demis Roussos, no.
Big guy with a beard?
Yeah, come on, you know the one. I'm pretty sure he died very recently.
That was Dormouse, wasn't it? That's
yeah,
the bloke.
Yeah, that's him.
Wasn't that Placido Domingo?
No. That sounds like a drink, doesn't it? Placido Domingo. Oh, I have a glass of Placido, please. come on, what was his name?
You smoked Carreras, didn't you?
Carreras was little. Is little.
Smoking, yeah. Come on, who's this guy? Is it is Spanish or Italian? One of the two. What was his name?
Don't know.
Come on, all
that's
slip
that,
back.
That's how interested I am in it.
Well, I'd send you the link. It's
Pavarotti.
Pavarotti. Sweep from Sooty and Sweep does Pavarotti. Sweet, brilliant.
That's with meringue, cream, and pineapple, isn't it?
Pavarotti. Oh, yeah. I don't have any breakfast in Skull then.
Look, as long as you don't send me the rainbow one with Zippy and George being naughty, I don't mind.
You didn't like that one then?
Well,
about
I'm
his twangers.
Sure. Well, I mean, you can't tell if they're miming or not, or whether someone's put their voice over on the hand, can you?
It's very good though.
they're talking about their twangers.
Yeah, but
brilliant.
The thing is, I do remember watching Rainbow with my oldest son, who's nearly 30, and we did make him a twanger out of an egg box. And elastic bands, and he did have his own twanger, Tom's twanger.
Tom's twanger.
Yeah.
I was thinking more about the one where he's counting. Move on swiftly.
Yes.
Move on. Yeah. Yes. Look. I've got. Look. If you want to hear this, I can play this for you. I'll tell you what. When you hang up, just keep listening because I've got something special for you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Fair play to you.
And thanks for being there, Arthur.
Right, Geezer, and if I do win tonight, I won't be phoning you tomorrow.
and if I win, I won't be answering you tomorrow.
If you win, Arthur...
If I do win tonight, I'll get Keith a new wig for his hair. It looks like he needs a bit more at the moment, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. We'll all chip in.
And a new eye. I'm sure we can get him a new eye, can't we?
A bionic one.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Gentlemen,
yeah, I'd pay for that. I'd pay for a new eye for Keith.
We can rebuild them.
I'll even buy him a new truck.
Thanks for being there, Arthur.
Take care.
Thanks, you're cool. Cheers now.
Bye.
Do you remember Sooty and Sweep, Shania?
Yeah.
You do? Okay. I don't know whether you would remember this particular episode, but this just cracked me right up. It was Sweep doing Pavarotti.
He's actually dreaming that he's appearing on Stars in Their Eyes. Sweep is dreaming that he is going to impersonate the famous opera singer Luciano Pavarotti.
That is just one of the funniest things ever. And you've got to, when you go home tonight, or you start this afternoon, just do Sweep Does Pavarotti. Comes up straight away. He's dressed in the Pavarotti gear. He's got the white hanky going on. He's got the and then when you've done that, when you've finished laughing, because obviously it's funnier to see it, when you finish laughing, just type in Sweep Does Stevie Wonder Happy Birthday. And I tell you that is that you will have problems getting off the floor. You will.
Oh,
it's
crikey.
That funny. It really is.
Is Sooty and Sweep still on? I still love that programme.
Shania?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
It was on when we were kids. It was on when my kids were kids. You know.
He was, I mean, all the others didn't do anything for me at all, but Sweep was just the naughty one and he was just fun.
I just used to love them. And Sue.
There is a thing such as Sweep's greatest hits.
Is there?
Yeah. Honestly, if you want cheering up, you want to have a bit of a laugh and you feel in a silly mood, just put it on, because you've got Sweep's greatest hits on YouTube, and he does all things like Lady Gaga, and honestly, it's genius. But those are the two you've got to do. You've got to do the old Pavarotti and the Stevie Wonder. I think it's not happy birthday. I just called to say I love you, and it is. He's got the Stevie. You even look at him and think. Do you know when you watch a cartoon and somebody's doing the voice? Yeah. They've cleverly done the cartoony face to make him look like the person actually talking.
So is this done in cartoons or with the actual puppets?
No, it's actual puppets.
Oh, good.
But he's all dressed up like in the gear. And it, honestly, listener, if you want to cheer yourself up this January day, you know, just type in Sweep does Pavarotti. Okay.
Excellent.
And it is as funny as you like. Now, is there any more messages? You got any more your side?
Oh, let's have a look. Somebody definitely added something on the end. What else have we got? Philip Pyro Petty, our guy, says he'd buy a radio station, turn Vectis Radio into the Rock Monster FM.
Yeah.
You would not, young man.
The money's gone to his head already. It's gone to his head already, isn't it? Check him out. He's on Saturday show between 10 and 1. Hi, Ian. I'm listening to you. If I won £50 million after picking myself up off the floor, I'd give £5 million. I'd keep £5 million and give my family £5 million each. Then the rest I'd find for deserving causes. More for teens to do. I'm on this dying island. For one unimaginable amount after watching what millionaires spend on TV the other evening. I think that they most have more money than sense. You're absolutely right, and something missing to have continuously gratify their short-lived fixes, having struggled for a while. We've learnt to love what little we have. That's from Penny. Thank you for that. Yeah. Penny, and there's an awful lot of people in the same kind of boat there, and I'm thinking that yes, okay, millions and millions of pounds, it won't ruin your life, but you've got to be careful. There's that fine balance, isn't there? Because if you've got like a half decent life, yeah, and you all of a sudden get £50 million and you're one of those people that think, right, feet come right off the ground, you're going to go and live in somewhere nice, Bahamas or something like that, and you're going to live there, honestly, I guarantee that after a period of time you'll crave your old life.
Yeah.
The simple life.
I can imagine most of us are sitting there thinking, yeah, but I wouldn't mind the chance to try this out. Let's see if it'll ruin my life, you know. But you're right. I mean, there are certain things money can't buy. It can't buy your health. It really can't. I mean, that quote from Steve Jobs when he was on his last legs, bless him, he had all the money in the world, all the technology in the world, access to the best thing, but unfortunately not. It can't buy you love.
No.
You know? And so that's what? Health, love. And it can't buy you another 20 years of being younger, can it?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, not really.
Not really.
Look at. I just want to come back to Paul McCartney in a mo. But look at Elvis Presley's ex-wife,
Priscilla.
She looks absolutely dreadful now, and I would imagine she's absolutely minted. But she's had all the work done, and it looks, she looks really odd.
Have you noticed that these women that have continual facelifts after they get to an age, well, they all look as though they're slightly alien. They've got this kind of slanty. Yeah. High cheekbones, slanty eye look, and they all start looking as though they're related.
Leslie Ash. They all are related to Leslie Ash.
You know, there's that, is it Versace, whatever, the woman. I mean, she's got that slanty look going on big time, hasn't she?
Yeah.
This alien look.
Just not right, is it?
No.
Just not right. I felt really sad when Paul McCartney died, and it just goes to show you
Paul McCartney's not dead.
No, sorry, Paul McCartney's wife, Heather, when she died. Look at that look. Yeah, okay. And that song that he brought out back in the 60s, Money Can't Buy Me Love, and there it is. When she died, I felt really like, hang on a minute, you got loads of money.
Yeah.
McCartney, save her, but you can't. You can't, all that money.
He couldn't.
You know, he can't, all that money, and he couldn't do anything. So it's absolutely true. It can't buy you life.
So it can buy you stability. It can buy you a lovely house. It can buy you freedom from worrying about your bills. It can help your mates and all that thing. But the really, really important things in life, it can't, can it?
Well, life.
Life, wealth, health, love.
Yeah. I'm depressed now.
But you could be unhealthy and miserable and lonely in complete luxury. So
yeah,
there is always that, you know.
Okay.
Sitting in your Cadillac with your champagne and Barbados.
20 seconds left. Are we buying a ticket tonight?
No.
I am, actually.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think,
for sure.
Don't forget what you said about, you know, looking after me.
I will. I'll look after you.
And I'm going to go and buy a ticket too. And I'm going to, you know,
if I win the 50 mil, I'll give you a mil. I promise.
Thank you. Cool, you heard that. Okay. Thanks for being there, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks, Shania. Thanks, Bex.